This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. We've been preaching about friends, and I'm going to continue that for a few weeks. We're in Genesis chapter 45, verse 1 says this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me, every man to leave the room. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my daddy Jacob still alive? Because it had been 22 years since he had seen him. He said, is my daddy Jacob still alive? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near, I pray. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brother. I know it's been 22 years since you've seen me, and I've changed. How many of you know things change in 22 years? You say, I'm not aging any. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank God the mirror don't lie. Or laugh, amen. All right, all right. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Let us pray. God, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Give your word a free course to travel. Bind anything that would hinder this service. Bind anybody that would hinder this service. Bind any power that would hinder this service. Because I believe you want to work in a special way. So God, speak to us and through us. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name until you come. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a little while about friends and forgiveness. Friends and forgiveness. Dan Hagler is a man that lives in Colorado. He's actually an umpire. He umpires in rec league, recreational league, primarily softball games for men. But Dan Hagler said one day his mother called him and she was very sick and said, Dan, I need you to come. And Dan said, I got in my car and I was going as fast as I could to mother's house. And he said, about that time I looked up and I saw some blue lights. And he said, I pulled the car over. And I said to the officer, I said, officer, you're welcome to follow me, but my mother's very sick. You're welcome to follow me to my mother's house. But I'm going to check on my mother. And the officer said, well, that matters not. He handed him a ticket and said, you can take up your situation down at the court. And he said, so we got the ticket. And about a week passed, and Dan Hagler said, I was umpiring a softball game. And he said, lo and behold, who stepped up to bat but the cop? He said, there he was. And he said, he recognized me, and he said, I recognized him. And then he said to me, how did things go down at the court? And Dan said, I looked at him and said, all I can say to you is, you better swing at everything. You better swing at everything. Somebody said, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, that's a different story. Amen? 4 out of every 5 people, 80% of people, 4 out of every 5 say, I've got somebody right now in my life I need to forgive. 4 out of every 5 say, I've got somebody in my life right now that I need to forgive. I don't want us to be like a lady that you wouldn't know her. Her name was Hazel Von Jecky. Hazel Von Jecky was an old maid. This old maid, Hazel Von Jecky, lived to be 94 years of age. But apparently Hazel Von Jecki went to her grave with an element of unforgiveness in her heart. Because when Hazel Von Jecki died, she left some specific funeral instructions. This is what she said. I don't want any, not one, I don't want any male pallbearers. She said they wouldn't carry me out while I was alive, so I don't want them carrying me out now that I'm dead. So she never moved past her unforgiveness. Well, see, I believe there's four stages. I believe it starts out as hurt. It starts out as hurt. This is what I know about life. There's some hurt along the way. There's some hurt along the way. Yeah, we're going to the land of milk and honey. Milk and honey. But I know this. If you get honey, you're going to get some stings, amen? And if you milk those cows, you're going to step in some stuff. So if you're on the way to milk and honey, there's going to be some stings and stuff along the way. It just happens. It just happens. Somebody said, oh, in the sweet by and by. I know about the sweet by and by, but we're living in the nasty now right now. So you've got the hurt. But then if we're not awful careful, folks, the hurt can be turned into hate. And what just started out as hurt has just built and built and festered and festered. And we've rehearsed it and we've nursed it. And it's just built in our lives. And then it moves from hate to a hook. You say, what are you talking about, hook? Well, see, we have a tendency to think, if I don't forgive them, I've got my hooks in them. If I don't forgive them, I'm holding something over them. If when I'm around them, they feel real uncomfortable, I'm keeping my hooks in them. I'm keeping my hooks in them. And the devil will make you think that somehow you have power over them, that you have somewhat of a control as long as you don't forgive them. It's kind of like the guy walks by the park bench, and there's a person sitting on the park bench, and the man's got a scrolled look on his face. It's a painful look. And his friend says, what's going on? You've got a painful look on your face. He said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. He said, well, why don't you get up? He said, well, I feel like I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me. And many times we feel like we're hurting them more than they're hurting us. And we've got a hook in them. And it starts out as hurt and it moves to hate and it leads to a hook. But then we want to get to the point where we heal. Where we heal. And I want to say, to get to the point where you heal, that's an event, that's a decision, but I also want you to know that's a process. Somebody said forgiveness is a decision. Yes, it's a decision, but it's a continual decision. So it's a process. Now I want to take just a little while, and I want to talk to you about friends and forgiveness, and I want you to see some things that are so important. First of all, I want you to see the motivation for forgiving. The motivation for forgiving. Why should I forgive when I've been hurt so deeply? I stood at this door after the 8 o'clock service, and a man came out the door, and I could tell he was broken. And he grabbed me and just held me. And I said to him, I said, it's okay. He said, preacher, it is okay. Because today I forgave mom and daddy. Today I forgave my mother and father. What is our motivation for forgiving? Well, look what the scripture says. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. A little boy said, God, Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Amen. Well, here's what I want you to understand. My forgiveness, your forgiveness, is tied to our forgiving other people. Our forgiveness is tied to whether or not we forgive. This great state of Georgia that we live in was discovered by a man by the name of John Oglethorpe. When John Oglethorpe came here, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a preacher came with him. His name was John Wesley. He was the founder of Methodism. General Oglethorpe said to John Wesley, "I never, ever forgive." And John Wesley said to him, "Sir, I hope you never, ever sin. I hope you never, ever sin." Let me tell you something. Our motivation for forgiving others, it's tied to our forgiveness. Because, by the way, every one of us are going to need forgiveness. And God says if we're not willing to forgive, He's not willing to forgive. You know what the Mayo Clinic said? It said they are benefits to forgiving people. The Mayo Clinic said you'll have an improved self-esteem. You'll have an improved heart health. You'll have a stronger immune system. You'll have fewer symptoms of depression. Forgiveness will lower your blood pressure, lower your anxiety, improve your mental health, and you'll have healthier relationships. It's motivation for saying, "I am going to forgive." Now let me say number two, that's motivation for forgiving. But what are some myths about forgiveness? What are some things that folks, they're just simply not true? They're just myths. Let me give you one. Number one, when you forgive, you forget. When you forgive, you forget. Well, folks, that's simply not true. What do you do? Hey, I choose to forgive you, and now I've got amnesia. No. You don't forget. And by the way, I thank God you don't. Hypothetically, let's just say you stole $20 from me today. I want to forgive you. But I don't want to forget because you might come back. So forgiveness is giving up the right to hurt you for hurting me. What is forgiveness? It's giving up the right to hurt you for hurting me. So it's a myth to say, if you forgive, you forget. No, you don't. Let me tell you a second myth. Forgiveness means what they did was right. That's a myth. If somebody violated you and did you wrong, it's wrong. And you say, "Well, I've forgiven them." Well, that's wonderful, and I want you to. But by the way, it's still wrong. William Penn says, right is right, no matter who's against it, and wrong is wrong, no matter who's for it. Let me tell you a third component. Forgiveness means exemption from judgment. So, Pastor Benny, by the way, that's a myth. If I forgive somebody, that means they've gotten out of judgment. The Bible never says that. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Why would it say, "if it be possible"? Because there's some people you can't live peacefully with. There are certain people that would give an aspirin a headache. Amen. There are some people that would complain if you hung them with a new rope. I mean, you just can't get along with them. You just can't. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But look what verse 19 says. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. And then verse 20 says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Because if you don't have a spirit to forgive, the evil will overcome you. See, I want to show you some verses, folks. And these are profound verses for the area that I'm dealing with. Look what Proverbs says. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. What does that mean? That's good enough for him after what he did to me. God said, you don't do that. God said, you don't do that. Look, lest the Lord see it and it displease him. Look, and he turns away his wrath from him. God said, I will deal with it as long as you don't. But when you try to deal with it, I'll remove myself from it. When you try to take care of it, when you try to put it in your hands, when you try to execute judgment, I just pull back and I'm not going to do anything. But if you'll just leave it alone and trust me, I'll take care of it. A woman walked into a drugstore and she saw the pharmacist and she said, I need to get some cyanide. The pharmacist said, why in the world would you need cyanide? Why would you need that? And she said, I want to poison my husband. Poison your husband? If I gave you cyanide, I'd lose my license. You and I'd end up in prison. Lives would be destroyed. That lady reached into her purse and she pulled out a picture of her husband kissing the pharmacist's wife. He said, my goodness, I didn't know you had a prescription. No. We can't be like that. We got to take our hands off of it and let God put his hands on it. We don't give anybody cyanide. Amen. Let me tell you the fourth myth. And here's the fourth myth. Forgiveness means reconciliation. That's a myth. Look, the person you need to forgive may be dead. The person you need to forgive, in most cases, it's best that you never have a conversation with. Because understand this. Reconciliation involves two people. Forgiveness just involves one. See, you can forgive. That's between you and God. Get this, folks. There are people that you don't need to be reconciled with. Listen, there are people that are not good for you, and perhaps you're not good for them. We talked a little bit about our motivation. We've talked about our myths, but I want to give you one more, and I'm done. What are some markers that you've forgiven? What are some markers that you have forgiven? I've told this story a bunch of times. But there was a person who had made my life pretty miserable. And you're going to have some of those in life. That just, hey, listen, let me make a statement. There are going to be some people who are not going to like you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. I'm just telling you, there's just going to be some people, because I'm convinced they don't even like themselves. They don't even like themselves. And now, there was a person who made my life pretty miserable. And Barbara and I were having a conversation on one occasion, and I said to Barbara, I said, I have forgiven them. It's gone. I've forgiven them. And I never will forget. I never live to be 100. I'll never forget this. And it really spoke to me. But she said, if you have forgiven them, why every time, and by the way, they were in the church. Some of the most negative people I've ever met have been in the church. Because you get saved doesn't mean you have a good attitude. You know the line, some of the most negative people, there's many people in church so negative, they could walk into a dark room and develop. I mean, some of the most negative people. And I said to her, I said, I have forgiven. And she said, Benny, I got some preacher friends and pastors, and their wives will call them like Dr. So-and-so or Pastor So-and-so. And, well, what does Barbara call you? Benny. That's what I want to be called. She said, Benny, if you've forgiven, why every time their name's mentioned does your countenance change? Why every time their name's mentioned does your countenance change? I just wanted to slap her in Jesus' name. But you know, we're a threefold being. We're a body, soul, and spirit. But in my spirit, I knew it wasn't right. I knew I hadn't forgiven. I knew I hadn't forgiven. And what are some markers along the way that we know? We know that. You say, Pastor Benny, I want to know whether or not I have forgiven him, or I want to know whether or not I have forgiven her. How do I know? Let me tell you this story, and then I'll get to the points, and we're almost done. There was a man in the Bible named Jacob, and he had 12 sons. But Jacob made a mistake, parents. He had a favorite, and that favorite was Joseph. That's not good. I would just encourage you, parents, they're all unique, they're all different. You love them differently because God made them differently, but just don't have favorites. You're just destroying the self-esteem of children. Don't do that. Just simply don't do that. Don't do that. And you say, well, he seems real passionate about that. Well, because I wasn't the favorite. Confession's good for the soul, amen. But he had 12 sons, and Joseph was the favorite, but the other brothers sensed it, and they did something to him. One day they was out, and they threw him in this big pit. I mean, they said, we got something for him. We'll just throw him in the pit. And then these boys started talking, and let me explain. They were Jews. And one Jewish boy said to the other Jewish boy, you know, we got him down there in that pit, but we could sell him. We could sell him. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They were businessmen. And through a chain of events, he became a slave. Through a chain of events, he went to prison. He was falsely accused. He served time in prison. He was a slave. Look, 22 years. 22 years later, his life had been troubled. And 22 years later, he encounters those brothers. How did he know that he had forgiven them? Two ways my mentor, R.T. Kendall, taught me. R.T. Kendall taught me two ways. But God supernaturally taught me the third point. How do I know that I've forgiven? Number one, you quit talking about it. You quit talking about it. Look what, in verse one, Joseph, it's been 22 years, he's changed. His hair probably used to be dark, now it's different. Don't laugh too loud. Now it's different. 22 years later, he's going to reveal himself to his brothers. He's the second most powerful man in Egypt. He's a hero in Egypt. If the Egyptians heard what they had done to Joseph, they would have been a revolt. He knows that. He said, I don't want anybody to know what you all did to me, so empty the room. I just want the boys in the room. I just want myself and my brothers in the room. I don't want anybody else to know about it. Let me give you a good indicator that you've forgiven. It's when you quit talking about it. Let me tell you. There's Bob. Yeah. Don't say nothing. But you know what Bob did to me. Now, I've forgiven him. But let me tell you what Bob did to me. No. No, I've not forgiven or I wouldn't be talking about it. You know what will revolutionize your marriage? When you quit talking about what happened in the past. When you quit bringing up. See, somebody said our home, we just get hysterical. No, some of you get historical. You keep bringing up the past. And if you'd quit getting historical, if you'd quit talking about it, you'd have a much better marriage. He said, no, I'm going to empty the room. You say, I've forgiven. No, you've not, because you're still talking about it. It's one thing if you need to see a therapist, you need to see a counselor. But you're talking to the guy down at the convenience store. And he's Indian and don't understand. When you forgive, you quit talking about it. Let me tell you something else. When you forgive, you don't want the person to feel guilty. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 45. Now, therefore, guys, don't you be grieved. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me. God did send me before to preserve life. What'd he say? Guys, don't beat yourself up. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Many times we do right the opposite. Somebody's done something to us, and we want them to feel uncomfortable in our presence. I want her to feel uncomfortable after what she's done to me. Yeah, I want her to know I'm not over it. He said, no. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to feel okay. And then here's the last point, and I'm done. When you make a decision to forgive, God makes a deposit. When you make a decision to forgive, God makes a deposit. You've got to make the decision. But when you do, God makes a deposit. Look what the scripture says. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Now get what he says. Said he hath made me to forget my toil. Look, folks, when you make a decision, God makes a deposit. He hath made me to forget my toil. What's that saying? When you make a decision, God does something supernaturally. Not I did it, but he hath made me to forget my toil. Get this, folks. The greatest blessings of your life are tied to forgiveness. The greatest blessings in your life, the greatest blessings in your life are tied to forgiveness. The things that God wants to do in your life, young lady, is many times tied to you being willing to forgive. You being willing to let it go. Get this. Joseph had a son. His name was Manasseh. What does Manasseh mean? Forgetfulness. That was his first son. He had made me to forget. Forgetfulness. But he had a second son. His name was called Ephraim. What does Ephraim mean? It means fruitfulness. There had to be forgetfulness before there could be fruitfulness. There had to be forgetfulness before there could be fruitfulness. You say, Pastor, I want fruitfulness in my life. I want fruitfulness in our family. I want fruitfulness in my ministry. I want fruitfulness down at work. There has to be forgetfulness, ladies and gentlemen, before there can be fruitfulness. And look, you make a decision, and God will make the deposit. But here's what I want you to see. You're going to have to continue to make the decision. You're going to have to continue to make the decision. Because it will come back. I remember Barbara and I hadn't been married long. And this is not an exaggeration. Every suit that I wore when I preached was from the yard sale. Every suit I preached in was from the yard sale. And one day Barbara and I went to JCPenney's. And they had this suit like for $79. And I said, I'd like to have it. And they said, do you? I said, but I don't have $79. And they said, you can do something. You can apply for something called a charge card. And we applied for that charge card. And it covered it that day. It covered it that day. But guess what? Every 30 days, it kept coming back. That suit cost me $400 every 30 days. You get this. You make a decision to forgive, and it's covered, but it's going to come back. And you've got to remind yourself, no, I made a decision. No, I made a decision. No, I made a decision. I made a decision to forgive. And every time you make a decision, God makes a deposit. Every time you make a decision, God makes a deposit. And fruitfulness is on the other side of forgetfulness. The greatest blessings in my life. The greatest blessings in my life have been tied to letting stuff go. Get this. When you're in your mother's womb and your daddy leaves, you have to let it go. A lot of us have got things we have to let go. Have to let go. But the blessing for your life is on the other side of just letting it go. Just letting it go. Just let it go.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.